Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Catholic retailers, business owners, and ministry leaders. Don't miss the Catholic Marketing Network Momentum 2019 event. Attend seminars that teach how to apply best business practices to any kind of business or ministry. Experience one-of-a-kind networking opportunities and browse the trade show exhibit hall full of Catholic resources and gifts from all over the world. Visit CatholicMarketing.com trade show page to find out how you can be a part of this event that helps Catholics build personal and professional momentum. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello and welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. It's great to be here with you once again. I, of course, am Gary Zimak. We're going to be hanging out for the next 30 minutes. Today's show is all about learning to be content. Contentment is the secret to happiness. I was asking the Holy Spirit, what should I talk about today on the program? And this is what came to me. And I'll be honest with you, this is something that does not come naturally for me. I struggle with this. How many times do we all get into that mode of thinking where we believe, if only I can get this in my life, if only I can make more money, if only I could have a bigger house or a nicer car, or if only I could have more friends, then if these things happen, then I'll be content. I'll be happy. I'll finally achieve that happiness. Well, honestly, when we live like that, we're always going to be unhappy because we'll always be looking for more. It only makes sense, doesn't it? So today we're going to talk about contentment, the secret to happiness, and I'll give you five biblical steps for learning to be content. And again, I wish I could say that I had this mastered. I don't. That's why oftentimes what you hear me talk about on the show, these are things that affect me personally. I need to be more content with what I have because I struggle sometimes to think, if only this would happen, then I'll finally be able to experience that peace and joy. And we've talked about joy on the program before. True joy comes from within. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if we learn to really connect with that joy of the Holy Spirit, if we learn to not base our happiness on external things or that goal that we need to achieve in order to be happy, if we learn to accept what we have and be content, we're going to be peaceful no matter what's going on in our life. And that is where I want to be, and I'm sure that's where you want to be. So we're going to be talking about that throughout the next 30 minutes on the program. And I want to tell you, it's such a pleasure to be here with you. I say that every week, but I really mean it. I thank you for all of your recent donations. I thank you for your comments about the program. I thank you for your prayers. And I thank you for spreading the news about the Gary Zimak Show. You're helping me to get the word out to more and more people, and I'm extremely grateful. We'll talk more after we pray. Right now, I want to pause for a minute, and I would ask you to remember something. You and I, right now, we are in the presence of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's an amazing gift that we have right now. So as I lead to prayer, just think about that. We're going to bring all of our needs to our Heavenly Father, and in Jesus' name, we will pray with the help of the Holy Spirit right now. So we got all three people persons, I guess is more appropriate, all three persons of the Trinity involved in our prayer. So I would ask you to join with me in praying in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, what a great honor it is to be able to speak with you this day. Father, we thank you for loving us unconditionally. We thank you for giving us another day of life. We thank you for creating the entire universe out of nothing. Father in heaven, anything that we enjoy in this life, any enjoyment that we have comes from you. We thank you for all of these gifts that you give to us each day. Father, we're sorry that so many times we're not content with what we have. We apologize for that. And we ask you to help us. To help us to focus more on what we have than on what we don't have. Father, we bring to you this day all of our needs. We lift up our family members, our friends. We lift up all who are sick. We lift up anybody who is struggling with doubt or despair, anybody who is dealing with depression or anxiety. We pray for the homeless. We pray for the homebound. We pray for all of our priests, our religious. We pray for all of our deacons. We pray for an increase in vocations. Father, we pray for peace in the world. We pray for the souls in purgatory. And Father in heaven, I ask you on this day to give me the words so that I can deliver your message today. I want to make sure I deliver your message on the program instead of my own personal message. And I ask that you open up our minds and our hearts so that we can be receptive to what you have to say here on the program. And I ask this, Father, in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives with you, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let's pause for a minute and think about something. When we pray, the Lord answers. Don't believe what you'll hear sometimes, that God doesn't answer prayers. That's not true. He always answers. Sometimes the answer is delayed. Sometimes his answer is, okay, I got it. I got what you need, but it's not time. That's an answer. Unfortunately, no is an answer as well, but he always answers our prayers. So when I believe, when I pray at the beginning of this program for him to give me the words, I really believe he'll answer me. Does that mean I'll only deliver his message? I won't ever deviate? No, because I'm human. But I do pray for the grace that the Holy Spirit will lead my words. And I really think we have a good program today. This idea of contentment is so important. Learning to be happy with what we have. It's such an important one. It's going to bring you a great deal of peace. If you're, if you're new to the program, or if you're not new, my name is Gary Zimek, and we do this once a week. I'm so grateful to be able to have this program available in so many different formats. We're on many Catholic radio stations where the program can be downloaded as a podcast as well. So please continue to pray for my outreach with the Gary Zimek Show so that I can get into more and more homes so more and more people can hear the good news. That helps me. And I have a desire to share this message with as many people as possible because I want to bring the Lord's message to people who desperately need to hear that message. So many people in the world today are suffering. They're not peaceful. They're not feeling joy. But we should feel joy if we have the Lord. So that's my job. If you want to find out more about my work, my full-time ministry, you can go to my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. While you're there at the website, you can look around. You can see the information about my books. You can find out how to bring me to speak at your parish, or you can make a donation to help fund my work. And I'd really appreciate that if I could get some new sponsors of my work, either on a monthly basis, which you can find out how to do securely at followingthetruth.com, or possibly a one-time donation. Whatever you can do will help me to continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, let's get right to it. Contentment, the secret to happiness. Now, it really is. Let's talk about this. It's tough sometimes, isn't it? It's tough to look at, here's my problem. It's tough to look at what we have and say, this is great. I'm so content with this. I don't need more. I have this tendency to, when I like something, whether it's good food or whether it's a good TV program or whether it's a book by an author that I like, to stop enjoying what I'm enjoying. In other words, I'm reading a book by an author and I say, I really like this guy. This guy really makes a lot of sense. And I want to immediately go out to Amazon and order 10 more books by the same author. Or if I'm eating something from a great bakery, I think, like, I need to go back and get this cake again because I love it. I have a tendency to look forward and to want to continue my enjoyment and make sure that I have an endless supply of whatever it is that I'm enjoying. And honestly, what that is establishing a false god. I'm looking for comfort and security in things that do not come from God. I mean, it might sound like I'm being overly dramatic, but that's what it is. I don't want my joy to end because I know that if I am eating this and I really like it, it's going to come to an end. So I need a regular supply of whatever this is so I can keep enjoying myself. That is, when we think like that, we take all of our joy out of the present moment. And also we have to recognize that material things, they're only going to keep you happy for so long. So true contentment, being content with the presence of the Lord in your life, is the way you're going to be happy forever. That's not going to go away. So that's what today is all about, learning to be content with what you have. And we're going to look at five steps that will help us to do that. And these are all based in the Bible. So we're going to go to the Word of God today and really hear some good advice for learning to be content. The very first step is just that, learning to be content. I want to look at St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, Philippians 4, chapter verse 12 and 13. This is Philippians 4, 12 and 13. I want to also point out that if you forget these verses, I've been blogging about this all week over at Patheos, my daily blog, so you can go through and review them all. If you want to know how to get to my daily blog, the easiest way is just to go to followingthetruth.com and click on blog, and that'll take you to my blog over at Patheos. So I've been blogging about these all week, so you can read about these various steps to contentment. Then you can refresh your memory. Philippians 4, verses 12 through 13. Here are the words of St. Paul. I know what it is like to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Now, there's something really powerful in this statement. Now, first of all, let's consider one fact. When St. Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians, you know where he is, right? He's under house arrest. He's chained to a Roman guard. He's not living in what we would consider an ideal situation. So if Paul is able to be content in this, in spite of his present circumstances, we could certainly learn something really important from him. But there's also something I want to emphasize. Did you catch what Paul said? I'm going to read this again. I know what it is to be in need. So Paul knows what it's like to be in need. There have been times in his life when he was very much in need. He also knows what it is to have plenty. And I would say that's probably the same for most of us. We may not have ever lived in extreme poverty, or maybe you have. I know personally I haven't, but there have been times when it's been very tough for me to pay my monthly bills. And there also have been times when I had no problem with it. I had more than what I needed. So Paul's saying, I know what it's like to have a lot, materially speaking, and I know what it's like to have a little. But here's what I want you to catch, the very next sentence. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. In other words, we have to learn to be content. It's not necessarily something that comes naturally. And that's what today is all about. That's what this program is about, learning to be content. The very first step is to recognize that in order to be content, we've got to learn something. And what do we have to learn? In verse 13, Paul says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Jesus Christ is ultimately the source of our contentment. So, if you're struggling right now, maybe you don't have a lot in your life, maybe you wish you had more money, maybe you wish you had a better job, a bigger house, maybe you wish you had a house, maybe you're living with friends and you don't have your own house, maybe you want a car, maybe you want a bigger car, I would encourage you to focus on Christ today as your source of contentment, learning to be content. Jesus, I have you. You have given yourself to me as my Lord, my Savior, and my best friend. That's good. The more you think about that, and the less you think about what you don't have, the more happy you'll be. And boy, does that require work. I struggle with that sometimes because it requires me to sit down and control my thoughts. I guarantee you, if you dwell on what you don't have in your life, and let's face it, each one of us lacks something. right? We lack something. If you focus on what you don't have, I guarantee you're not going to be happy. You're going to be miserable. Now, with Christ, when you focus on your relationship with Christ, your contentment might not be the same as you would experience when you hit the lottery. It's going to be more subtle, but it's going to be more profound. It's going to be not that you're going to be jumping up and down doing cartwheels necessarily, but you're going to have a peace and a joy inside of you that's very powerful. So today, learn to be content. How? By focusing on Jesus Christ in your life. He's real. He wants to be a part of your life. No matter what you're going through right now, He is with you. So what's the second step in learning to be content? Stop wanting more. We look to the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And this kind of ties in to the first step as well. We might not think we love money because, you know, when you say you love money, you think of a miserly character. You think of people who are greedy and who are trying to cheat other people. Oftentimes, we end up loving money even though we don't realize it, because in this world, there is security in money. I mean, certainly it's a false sense of security, but if you have money in this world, you can seemingly buy yourself happiness. It doesn't work that way, because we see stories constantly of people who have millions and millions of dollars and who commit suicide, who are unhappy. Money is only going to make you happy for so long. And in this letter to the Hebrews, we're told to keep our lives free from the love of money, be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. This ties into step one, focusing on Jesus Christ. He's part of your life. He is with you right now, no matter what you are going through. He is with you. If you are struggling with need in your life, if there's things you think you don't have and you might need them, there's a reason. There's a reason why the Lord lets us go through things like this. I know that since I've told my story before. I worked as a software developer for 30 years prior to going into full-time ministry. I made a lot more money then than I did now. My family and I, we've been forced to really struggle. We had to sell our house. We had to downsize dramatically. We're down to one car now. But there's a sense of peace, not only for me, but for my wife and my children, that we experience because we don't have a lot. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Why? Because you have the Lord in your life. If you have that, you really don't need anything else. That's not the message you're going to hear in the world. You turn on the TV, you go on the internet, you watch billboards. Everything tells you if you want to be happy, you need to buy this or to buy that. That's not true. You have the Lord. You have what you need. Which leads us to our third step. And this comes once again from St. Paul in his first letter to Timothy, beginning in chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. This is a powerful message from St. Paul. And again, you and I, we're going to think oftentimes that I could hit the lottery. And I've heard people say this. I can hit the lottery and win millions of dollars, but I promise I will never quit my job and I'd give plenty of money to charity. I don't trust myself. You might trust yourself, but I don't trust myself with having millions of dollars, because I know that the more money I have, the less I'm going to connect with the Lord, because I connect with him the best when I have to depend on him. And see, he gets that. Oftentimes we deny ourselves. Having a lot of money, oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes can be a source of temptation, especially when we begin to love money, when we begin to want more and more, and we're never satisfied because we do have that tendency. But in this Bible passage, Paul reminds us that we brought nothing into the world. We brought nothing into the world, and we can't take anything out of it. As the old saying goes, you never see a U-Haul behind a hearse on the way to the funeral, right? It doesn't happen. We don't take our possessions with us when we die. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Can you honestly say that? When you woke up this morning, did you thank God for your food and your clothing? If you did, good for you. But so many times I could tell you that I didn't do that. I complained about the lack of food that I had in the house. Not that I didn't have food, but I didn't have the food that I wanted. And I often start complaining and forget to thank the Lord for my shoes and for my clothing. There are a lot of people in this world that don't even have those basic needs. So today, learn to be thankful for your food, for your clothing, and recognize the fact that the love of money is the root of all evils. Sometimes that verse gets misquoted, and you'll hear money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that love of money is the root of all evils. So keep that in mind. Be careful, because that's a trap that we can all fall into. All right, let's look at our fourth step on the secret, pursuing the secret to happiness and learning to be content. We're going to look at the words of Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" We have talked about this passage on the program before, and the fact that Jesus was talking specifically about money here. Prior to this passage beginning, he was warning his followers of the danger of pursuing money as a source of happiness. And that's why he said, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. He's not saying don't do anything to provide for yourself and for your family. That's not what he's saying. He's saying do not worry about it. The Lord's not by any means saying just go sit on the beach and don't worry about how you're going to make money. We all have to make money to pay our bills. I mean, we have to earn a living. That's what he wants us to do. But he wants us to focus on the birds here and remind us that the birds, they don't worry. The birds don't worry about where their next meal is coming from. But the birds also go out and look for food. You see the difference? But he also points out that our Heavenly Father feeds the birds. Not their Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, he says. The birds, as I have said before, and I know I've said it on this program, the birds are not made in the image and likeness of God, but yet they trust him more than we do. God will provide. He provides for our needs. Let's make sure that we keep our focus on eternal happiness. Our main goal in life is the one we often fail to pray for. Our main goal in life should be making it to heaven. We need plenty of help with that, don't we? And that's something that very recently the Lord laid on my heart in my own life. He said, Gary, you better start praying more earnestly about your spiritual treasures. You need certain things. And you know, sometimes, I'll share something with you, somebody like me, I can get a little cocky. I can start to feel, oh, I've got this. This holiness thing, I've got it down. I'm doing okay now. Lord, I can take it from here. No, I can't. I need to pray every day to be transformed, that the Lord will transform me and turn me more into an image of him. I should be looking like Christ to other people. And I know, if you know me, you know that's not the case. I got a lot of work to do there, and we all do. God will provide for our material needs. And is it true that some people are living in poverty? Yeah. Can I explain that? Not really. The best I can do with explaining that is to say that if somebody is living in poverty, that gives me an opportunity to help them, to love them, to send them some money, to buy food for them. And it's complicated. We're never going to figure out how this whole life business works. But that's not our job. We're not God. And we'll look at tragedies. We'll look at people living in poverty. And we'll say, well, God can't love us if that's the case. But I do know this, and which is not true, but we're trying to understand God. We can't. God is a mystery. We can understand only to a certain extent. I do know this for a fact. Many people who are living in extreme poverty, and I've heard reports from people who have visited African nations where the people had nothing, yet they're very happy. They're very close to the Lord. We can't understand that. In the United States, no matter how little I have so much more than so many people in the world. Just because you don't have money doesn't necessarily mean you're miserable. So that's an important point for us to remember, and that's what Jesus wanted to remind us of, the fact that God will provide. The fifth step I want to look at is, you've heard this one before, in weakness there is strength. 2 Corinthians 12:10, once again, St. Paul says this, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." If we have too many material possessions in life, I know, I live this, we tend to forget about the Lord. We tend to seek our comfort in our material things. I've got a big house. I've got lots of possessions. I got tons of money in the bank. I have 2 cars. I have this. I have that. Why do I pray? Because oftentimes we're so focused on our material things that we don't feel we have a need for God. Now, maybe I was just a selfish jerk. I don't know. But that's the way I lived my life. I still went to church every week, but I really didn't pray as earnestly as I should have because I didn't really feel I needed anything. But the Lord's really worked with me. I'll tell you, it's been quite a lesson. It hasn't been pleasant at times, but he's really helped me to understand that all of my happiness should reside with him and not in material things. So we are just about out of time. Again, followingthetruth.com, take a look at my blog. I blogged about this all week, about the different steps to learning to become content. If you start doing these things, if you start ultimately looking to the Lord as your source of happiness and contentment, you're going to be a lot more peaceful in life. I want to thank you once again for tuning into the program. Remember, you can connect with me at followingthetruth.com. If you'd like me to invite me to speak at your parish, your conference, you can do that by contacting me at the website. Also, if you'd be able to leave a donation to help me to continue my full-time ministry, I would be very grateful. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Send along your emails if you need anything, if you have any comments about the program. You can either contact me through the website, or you can send an email directly to Gary@followingthetruth.com. If you would continue to pray for me, I would be very appreciative. I promise to pray for you every day as well. And also share the news about this program with the other people in your life. My goal with this show is to give hope to the hopeless. Too many times we walk through life feeling hopeless, feeling depressed, feeling sad, and yet the Lord is with us at all times. And if that's the case, we should always be happy. Can I get an amen before we go? All right, amen. Thanks again for listening to the program. Let me know whatever I can do for you. Be assured of my prayers. And until we meet again, I want to remind you that this is Gary Zimak telling you that wherever you go, whatever you do, I want you to be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I look forward to seeing you next time on the Gary Zimak Show. God bless you.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.